And this segment of the show features a gentleman that I believe if you have anything to do with the home built movement, you're going to recognize immediately. And that is Mr. RV himself, Dick Van Grunsven. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We're just in time for the airplane noise.
Well, I think they anticipated me and figured people would rather hear the airplane than me, maybe.
I'm not too sure about that because since you founded the company back in 1973, there are now 10,000 RV of the various models. There are 10,000 flying, and I think the last number I heard was 10,188.
Something like that, the best we can count, yeah.
What was the genesis of the original RV?
Well, the original was really a modified Stitz Playboy that I had reworked and put a new set of cantilever wings on that I had designed and built. So since I had changed the airplane so significantly, I redesignated it RV-1 based on my initials and first airplane I'd, well, significantly designed.
And RV makes sense, Richard Van Grunsven.
Yeah.
But people may not know that a lot of home builds, especially the one-offs, are often have the builder's name or initials or things
sure.
like that. So you were right in the naming convention with everyone else, but your RV moniker has really, literally taken off. What was, as you had the RV-1, what made you think about moving on or improving on that design?
Well, basically, I had come up with what I thought was a pretty good airplane, but I knew that it was still kind of a hybrid in a way. It was not a clean sheet of paper design. And flying it for several years and quite a few hundred hours, I realized or felt that I could do better by just kind of refining the same basic configuration, which then became the RV-3, which was the first commercial airplane. In other words, the first airplane for which we had plans or parts or kits.
Wait, so that was the, so you could get plans or kits for the three?
Well, initially it was just plans and parts because at that time, 1973, there was not much in the way of kits, that we didn't really have a kit industry at that time. And most planes at that time were still built from plans and raw materials and maybe a few critical parts. So that's really where we started. But, you know, again, the people wanted more than that. They didn't want to have to be a scratch home builder.
Right.
So we evolved some, by present standards, rather basic kits in 1974-75. And, well, we've just gone from there.
The RV-3 is single seat, which isn't much fun, so along comes the RV-4.
Well, the RV-3 is single seat, which is the ultimate in fun, but you just can't share
can't
the
share
fun.
It, yes.
So yes, immediately then people wanted a two seat, but I was a bit reluctant because at that time a lot of the two seat airplanes were not as much fun. In other words, they didn't have the same performance parameters, not as sporty, etc. So it was a little hesitant, not very certain that I could retain the qualities that that they wanted or thought they wanted. But fortunately, on the RV-4 and with a lot of the subsequent designs, we were able to achieve the performance and the handling qualities that were the standard for which had been set by the RV-3.
The RV grin, which you, if you're around RVs or any experimental aircraft, you've heard of, and I can attest to that as well. The first flight in the RV, you come back with this just enormous grin that doesn't wear off for quite a few days because they are such a fun airplane to fly and very easy to fly, very forgiving, and it really, you almost feel, at least I did, I almost felt like a fighter pilot, like I was wearing the airplane because it just responded so well. And it's a testament to you and your team for designing such wonderful aircraft.
Thank you.
And how have you been able, now we've gone all the way up to the RV-14, how have you been able to keep that RV grin going?
Well, with the RV-3 and the 4, some of it might have been blind luck as far as hitting the right planforms and the right control size and shape and what have you to get the handling qualities and the pleasant flying experience that you just described. Once we had that, then it was a matter of kind of patterning any future airplane around that, kind of in a way almost reverse engineering, trying to say, well, what did we do that worked so well? What do we need to retain, or how can we retain that along with the necessary changes moving from one model or one configuration to another?
We go through the models. You've got the side-by-side, tandem seating, and tail draggers and nose wheels. Also, the light sport version of the RV to kind of fill in that niche in the market as well.
Yes. Well, again, there's different builders and different pilots have other preferences. We started with tail wheel, both the RV3 and the 4, and the original RV6 were tail wheel configurations, which were more common for the home builds of the time, because a lot of the pilots entering this field had background in those airplanes. As time went on, a higher percentage of the pilot base had learned in tri-gear and weren't really that familiar with or that capable. So we, in about mid-1980s, 1988, I guess, was the first tri-gear airplane variant of the RV6 that we came out with.
Right.
So then the landing gear configuration has kind of been based on the utilization of the airplane. Like our four-seat RV10 is strictly tricycle gear,
right,
because that better suits the pilot base as well as the cross-country mission of the airplane. Same with the RV12 light sport, with the intent of lower time pilots or just pure recreational flying. The tri-gear just is the preferred configuration.
Indeed. You've responded to consumer demand and retained the qualities of the RV. What's in the future for the RV company?
Well, probably more of same. Obviously, we can't talk about what might be on the drawing board, but I can state, though, that anything we do is going to be based on providing the most versatile, the most enjoyable airplane for that particular mission.
We're talking with Dick Van Grunsven as we celebrate the 10,000th RV that is out there flying. With the kit industry the way it is and how it's evolved from the 70s through today, where do you think the industry is going in the future?
Probably continuing somewhat in the same direction. I don't see any radical changes on the horizon. It's basically getting better in that typically the kits are getting better. The designs themselves are getting better from the way of stability and safety and what have you. So we're moving in the right direction. Whether we evolve into, how soon we evolve into electric power plants, I don't know. There's some definite challenges there, particularly in, as I like to say, the size of the fuel tank.
That's right.
To get enough energy to provide a practical flight.
How has engineering and design of aircraft changed from the 70s to today? I would think a lot more computer-based than it was with slide rule and paper.
Definitely. The computers played a big part in it. The computer does not help that much in the basic design of the airplane as far as establishing the parameters and so on. A lot of that is more practical, more useful from the manufacturing standpoint and from the perspective of preparing good drawings and construction. And other than that, though, the kit plane industry, companies have evolved a lot, have become more capable and more professional and less chalk marks on the floor type design and into the, as you said, computer field where the accuracy is much more assured and the airplanes become much closer to the level of certified airplanes than they had been way back when.
it must give you a sense of pride to see the mass formations of RVs like we saw the other day in the air show, and pilots flying your design that they built, but then doing it with such precision.
Yes, it's definitely very satisfying, but obviously I have to share that satisfaction with a lot of people, oh, yes. Both people on my staff as well as all of the individuals that put in all the time to build the airplanes and train themselves to fly them that capably and that professionally. So it's definitely a group effort, and that's what EAA is all about, is the community. And we think that we have, well, I don't know if I'd say exemplified that, but definitely achieved that.
And set a pretty high standard. If someone's on the field and they'd like to see what you have available, where are you located?
Well, our display is in the north display area, up, north.
Yes,
toward
Warbirds.
Just short of the Warbirds area, along with a number of the other kit manufacturers' displays. And, of course, we're working on the one-week wonder in the tent right up in the main square.
All right. Dick, thank you so very much for joining us for a few minutes this morning. And congratulations on not only the 10,000th RV, but having a – there are not many entrepreneurs who can say that they've run a company from the 70s through the 2000s and beyond, done it successfully, and made so many people happy and helped so many of us get up in the sky and fly.
Okay, well, thank you for inviting me here. I've enjoyed talking to you, and obviously we've been – blessed with good fortune in many ways, so hope to be here for many years.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Dick. Dick Van Grunsven from Van's Aircraft. You're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.